He's everything I need to. He's more than a match for anything that I have to deal with in life. His grace has always been sufficient. And He's always been faithful to me as I go through my personal trials and battles of life. I appreciate His goodness and mercies. These are your prayers as we speak just a little while this afternoon. I want to read scripture in the 11th chapter of Mark, the book of Mark. I want to talk about the lessons of the fig tree that Jesus dealt with here. Mark 11 and 12 says, "On the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry. Seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, he came, if haply he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of the figs was not yet. Jesus answered and said unto it, No man eat of fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. They come to Jerusalem. Jesus went into the temple, began to cast out them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves, and would not suffer that any man should carry any vessel through the temple. And he taught, saying unto them, Is it not written, My house shall be called of all nations the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. And the scribes and the chief priest heard it, and sought how they might destroy him, for they feared him, because all the people was astonished at his doctrine. And when even was come, he went out of the city, and in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. Peter, calling to remember it, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursed is withered away. And Jesus answering saith unto them, Have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, whatsoever things ye desire, when you pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. And when ye stand praying, forgive, if ye have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses." I think I spoke last Sunday afternoon about parables in general, and used two or three of them. But this one here, I just want to deal with the one parable, the parable of the fig tree. I believe it must have been so wonderful to be with Jesus in his ministry. It must have been wonderful to be with the one. You know, you've probably been around people that are know-it-alls. They think they know it all. They have an answer for everything, and anything you've done or tried, they've already done and tried it and did it better. Well, the disciples was with someone that truly did know it all. And he had a lot of good things to teach them, to impart to them. And that's what the Word of God is for us, isn't it? For us to be able to learn, and that we can develop in our relationship with God and our relationship with ourselves and with each other. And I just feel like it was probably a wonderful thing to be able to walk with the Savior when he was here on earth. And some people don't have it, but some people have the type of personality that, oh, when they're around someone they know is very knowledgeable, they just want to soak it up. Just want to soak in everything they can get. And seemed like Peter, he needed a lot, but seemed like he was interested. paid attention to what Jesus said, paid attention to what he did. We see in our story that Jesus came by a tree, and it said that when he came to it, he said happily he might find anything thereon, and he came to it and he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. Jesus knew all about the fig tree. He knew about the times and the seasons for the fig tree. And he knew when he saw the leaves, there wasn't any figs on it. They don't come at the same time. But there's the parable of the fig tree takes us all the way back to the Old Testament teachings. Children of Israel was a type of the fig tree. There was a type of the vineyard that God had planted. You read in the 5th chapter of Isaiah that he planted a vineyard and he watered it and he dung about it and he did all the things to it that it would bear forth fruit, and it didn't bear forth the fruit that was pleasing to God. But the fig tree was an example or an Old Testament symbol for Israel. And so he used this tree to teach the disciples a thing or two. And they noticed that when he went by, he spoke to a tree. You know, we remember the scripture very well where he was out on the waters and with the disciples in the boat, and they came and woke him up, and they said, you know, the winds and the waves were boistering and the boat was being whipped around. We remember that well. And they went to him and said, "Master, don't you care that we perish?" Well, of course the master cares, doesn't he? That's the way we get sometimes when we get a frightened or afraid or we begin to doubt in our hearts. We say, "Master, don't you care?" Folks, I want you to be encouraged this afternoon. He cares about everything that touches your life. He cares about it. He really does. And he spoke to the wind, didn't he? And the wind quit blowing and the waves quit. And the waves settled down. Folks, he spoke to a tree here. To a tree. He was looking for fruit. Now that's the type of you and I. He's looking for fruit from each and every one of us. For you and I to bear fruit. Remember last week when we read about the one where he said that the master said he was just going to cut it down. And he told him to give him another year and let him dung about it. And let him water it and let him feed it. Give him an opportunity to work with it. That's what the Lord does with you and I. And he wants to work with you and I. But he found this tree. It had lots of leaves, but it didn't have any fruit on it. So he cursed the tree. And because he was God. He was the Son of God in the flesh. And he had authority over these kind of things. And Peter didn't miss it. In the morning as they passed by Peter, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. Peter, calling to remembrance, saith, "Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursest is withered away." Now, one of the first lessons that Jesus had to teach the disciples when they recognized and they realized that the tree was withered up after he had spoken to it, the first thing out of his mouth, Jesus said, "Have faith in God." Now, I just want to challenge you for a little bit this afternoon. He went on to say, "If whatsoever," he said, "but he believe, that believe those things which he shall ask shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith." How many of you this afternoon truly believe that when you ask God for something, whenever you take your burdens, your needs, your concerns, your loved ones, whatever it may be, before the Lord in prayer, how many of you actually believe that if you ask Him, He's going to give it to you? How many of us do believe in that? He said, "Have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, 'Be removed,' and be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt." Boy, that's hard for us, isn't it? Because you know why? We're always looking at the situation. Jesus was looking at a live tree. It didn't have the fruit yet, but it had the leaves on it. But he cursed it and it withered up from the roots. He believed that what he was doing there, that it was going to happen, and it did happen. But remember one place Jesus said, "Greater works than that I do, Greater works than these that I do, shall you do? I believe, as the sister has already testified and mentioned, I believe in her prayer, that God wants us to have this power too. He wants the power to be transferred through Jesus Christ into our hearts and lives, that whatever you and I ask, but He said, first of all, have faith in God. You know, when I thought about that, I went over to the 11th chapter of Hebrews. You know it well. And it talked about all the dear ones back in the Old Testament time that had faith in God. Some were sawn asunder, and some faced their children being taken to put to death, and all kinds of things that they faced back in those days. But they didn't deny God. They still trusted in the living God. Lord, help us today. Folks, everything around us today in our society, from our government right on down to where you and I live, is opposing Christianity and faith in God. We're opposed today. And I want you to realize, folks, whenever you're going upstream, it's going to take extra power and extra grace to paddle your little canoe upstream against the tide of this world and the things that is coming against us today. You're going to have it, folks. You're going to need it in order to be successful. And He said, have faith. Have faith in God. I can't think about, and He talks about speaking to the mountain. I can't hardly read that scripture without thinking of Brother Gerald Flynn in Louisiana when he had the cancer come up over on his bald head. Because I saw it personally. I saw the cancer and the growth, and it was probably 3/4 inch to an inch high at one time on his head, and it was cancer. He went to an old doctor friend of his, asked him to look at it, and he said, that's just a plain old cancer. It didn't do anything. He just looked at it. So that's just a plain old cancer. And as the time went on, they could tell by the smell of it and the way that it acted and all those kind of things that it was cancer. And him and his wife testified. They even testified this at Monarch. But I heard the testimony in Louisiana also, where they were so inspired by God to speak to the mountain. The mountain was the cancer. And they begin to pray, and they begin to ask God, and they begin to speak to the mountain. Be cast out of here. Be cast into the sea, wherever you want to take it, Lord. But speak to that mountain, that thing that looms so great before you, that thing that looks so overpowering or so strong that it's like a Goliath to David, that it seems like you cannot conquer this. Speak to it. Don't give in to the flesh. Don't give in to doubts. He said, if you don't doubt in your heart, and if you ask and believe, you will get what you receive. How many of us believe that this afternoon? Jesus was giving them a lesson here, because they asked about the fig tree. That tree that you cursed, it's dried up from its roots. And He said, have faith in God. You know, they prayed that prayer and they began to come before the Lord about that mountain that was on the top of his head. Maybe you've heard the testimony. But one day he got up and he was in the shower and he took a shower. And when he got out of the shower, he was drying off with a towel. And he was a little rough with it, maybe rougher than he should have been. And he hit that. He hit that big cancer on top of his head. And it knocked it off. The towel knocked it off. Said it bled and bled and bled. But you know what? It was a mountain that God took away. God intended for it to be that way. God allowed that to happen. Brother John and I was down there in Louisiana. I don't know if he looked at it or not, but I sat right beside the brother on Wednesday night down there in the service. That old mountain that they spoke to looked like a fingernail print in the top of his head. That's all you can see. It's all gone. The Lord healed it. Have faith in God. Can't say it enough. Don't know how to say it in the proper way, but saints, stop looking at the circumstances. Our world is changing. Our people are changing. I believe I spoke last, maybe it was even last weekend. Folks, holiness is foreign to this generation. To speak of righteousness and godliness and holiness in this generation, it's foreign to our people. People today don't know how to, they don't know what it means to trust God. They don't recognize Him or honor Him as Creator, as Lord of Lords and King of Kings. But folks, He is sovereign. We're only here today because He gives us life and breath. That's the only reason why we're here. Oh, but we have such a hard time trusting Him. Sister called a song this morning that kind of struck my heart. He said, though raging storms about me sweep and fiery billows roll. Do we pay attention to what we're singing sometimes? Sometimes these words go very deep, folks. To Thee, dear Lord, I humbly trust the keeping of my soul. Now, you tell me something. I challenge any of you to tell me, name something that has more value to you than your soul. And I'll tell you what you put value on many times before your soul. And that's your life. Even the devil, when God was allowing Job to be tempted, even the devil said, skin for skin. Even if he's afflicted in his body, he'll fall down and worship me. It gets real personal, it gets real deep when it's me and my body, doesn't it? When it's my life. To Thee, dear Lord, I humbly trust the keeping of my soul. You know what it is? You know, I've thought about it many times. There might be a better way to say it. But what it comes down to is you can't do anything about your soul except be born again and live for God. Your soul, God is going to take care of. But I can take my life and I can do what I want with it. You understand what I'm saying? I can take, anytime I want to take charge of my life and whatever I want to change and whatever I want to do, it's tangible. I can do what I want. Your soul is intangible. But to Thee, dear Lord, I humbly trust the keeping of my soul. You better trust Him for the keeping of your soul, folks. That's the only option we really have, is to trust Him for the keeping of our souls. And I'm glad it is, because He's well able to take care of it, isn't He? He's well able to keep our souls. Have faith in God. Believing. Trusting. Waiting. Understanding that He has a purpose for everything that He allows to come my way. I believe He does. He has a purpose. Maybe it means a little more consecration. Maybe it means a little more surrendering. Maybe it means I need a little more patience. Maybe it means I need a little more faith to trust God. Folks, we don't come here like we did this morning praying for those three sisters, just going through the motions. I expect God to do something. I do. I expect that. I don't have any other trust, but my trust is in God. And I have to live my life that way too. I don't have things in my home that I can turn to and try to help me. I'm not talking about homeopathic things. But I trust God. For me, and for my body, and for my life. He has a purpose for everything. And you know what? We just need to look for it. We're quick to say, Lord, take me out of this. Lord, I want to find the purpose of why You allowed this to come my way. greater work shall ye do, because I go to my Father. I don't know if you can really grasp that, to get a hold of that. But folks, He said it. Jesus said it. I didn't. Thou shalt, if he that can, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he hath. You know, how big do you see God this morning, this afternoon? How big is he? What can he give you? What can he do for you? Just the small things? Or maybe just the big things and you can handle the small things? I want God to be every part of my life. Every decision that I have to make, I want God to be in it. You see, the second thing that he said here, wherefore I say unto you, whatsoever things you desire when you pray. When you pray. The things that you want, the things you ask for, believe that ye shall receive them, and ye shall have them. How many of us believe that? He takes the fig tree that's all withered up, and he says, have faith in God. And then he says, when you pray, whatever you desire, believe you receive them. And you will have them, he said. You shall have them. Prayer. Sometimes we say, and I've been guilty of it in the past, I try not to be guilty of this anymore. We say, well, all I know to do is pray. Folks, there's power in prayer. There's honor in prayer. What is prayer? What are you actually doing when you pray? It's an act of spiritual expression that brings your will. Listen, folks. That brings your will into the conformity of God's will. That's what prayer does. It brings my will in conformity to God's will. What did Jesus say? If it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. That's what prayer is. I don't care what you're praying for. I don't care what your needs are. Your prayer is to bring in conformity your will, your desires, your mind, your heart to the will of God. That you want more than anything for His will to be done in you. And whatever that might be. Well, folks, we're not talking about some superficial surface salvation here. We're talking about someone that's deepening down in the Lord. Someone that is consecrated to God. Someone that has a connection. Someone that's plugged in to the outlet, to the connection. Prayer is so valuable. It is so important to you and I. What is it when we don't pray? When we don't pray, let me ask this. Are we telling God His will's not important? Lord, I'm not going to bring this to you because it's really not important to me what your will is concerning this. Lord, I want that new car and I'm not going to ask you for it. I'm going to go get it because I want it and I don't want you to tell me no. I just use that for an example. Like the young man said, Lord, do whatever you want. When he had him a girlfriend, he said, Lord, do whatever you want, but give me Peggy. We just want our way, see? But real honest, importuning prayer is getting yourself down, your will down, getting you down humble before God that your will be His will. And when your will is His will and you're submitting to His will being done, folks, then you prayed. Then you prayed. Then you've got a connection with God. When you've actually come to the place. Jesus did it three times, didn't he? He prayed three times for this, if it's possible. There's nothing wrong with you going to the Lord. Lord, if it's possible, I'd rather not have to deal with this. I'd rather not have to go through with it, if it's possible. But God, you know what is needed. Jesus had to drink the cup, folks. He prayed that he wouldn't have to, but he drank it. He drank it, and it was a bitter cup. It was full of our sins. And he drank it. He drank it for you and I. An act of spiritual expression that brings us into the very nature and the purpose of God. Brings us into His will in every part of our life. Remember, still talking about prayer. Prayer only works, folks, if you have faith in God. If you have faith and believe in the one you're praying to. If you believe that what you're really asking, that He can do it. And that He will do it. You know, sometimes we get hard places in life like Paul. The Apostle Paul, you know the scripture well. 2 Corinthians 12 chapter, 8th verse. Paul said he had a thorn in the flesh. And he went and prayed three times also. Jesus prayed three times. And then he was consecrated. Paul prayed three times. I don't know if the Lord told him this every time, but finally after he had prayed three times, God said to Paul, "My grace is sufficient for you. I choose not to take this thorn away. I choose that this will be a trouble to you, but I have grace that you'll be able to live with victory even though you have this trouble in your life." Sometimes sorrow is thorns. Sometimes disappointments are thorns. Paul had one that God said he wasn't going to take away. But he told him, "My grace is sufficient." And then he said, "My strength," God said, "or my power is made perfect in our weakness." The power of God working in your life, made perfect through your flesh, because you're willing to submit. You're willing to surrender. You have a right to pray. You have a right to go to the throne of grace and get an answer from God. And when you get that answer, Lord, help us that we will humble ourselves and receive that answer. Not fight against the prick. Not keep going until we get there. You know, I've been through the experiences over the years. I've known people go to one minister, try to get the answer that they want to their personal issue, and they didn't satisfy them, so they go to another minister. And they try to get the answer that they're looking for from that minister. No, when God gives us the answers, after you've earnestly prayed and submit to His will, God says, "My grace is sufficient for you." He left the thorn. I don't know what it was. I don't know what Paul's thorn was. You don't either. The Bible doesn't tell us. We can speculate on a lot of things. But we probably all got a thorn in the flesh. But God said His grace was sufficient. Paul prayed. Jesus prayed till the grace came. Till the grace came. Till they got to the place where God sent the grace to go through whatever it was that He wanted them to go through. They prayed until the grace came. I'm so thankful for that this afternoon. I'm not going to belabor this. I feel like you're getting the point of what my little message is about. But he said, "Have faith in God And He told us to pray. And He told us to believe when we pray. And if we believe when we pray, we would receive what we ask for. Because we will truly have submitted ourselves in our prayers to the will of God. In whatever His purpose. When Paul got the answer, he submitted himself. Doesn't say he prayed anymore. He prayed three times. And the Lord, and then he said, therefore, most gladly will I suffer my afflictions. Most gladly. Paul realized that God's grace was sufficient. God wasn't going to take it away. Now, God doesn't always work that way with us folks. Sometimes He takes it away. But if He doesn't, He's got grace for us to go through it. And I know there's some here today that are dealing with things that it's taking every bit of the grace of God you can get to help you to go through what you're going through. I understand that. I understand that fully. But His grace truly is sufficient, folks. I don't have it for you, but He's got it for you. He knows your sorrow. He knows what you're facing. He knows the tests that you're going through. But He didn't stop there, and I'm going to come right on down to the last part. In verse 25, when you stand praying, now when you're praying, He said, forgive. When you're praying, folks, and you're taking your petitions for the Lord, before the Lord, there must be a clearing of yourselves. There must be a nothing standing in the way of your relationship with God. You've got to have things clear between you and God if you want Him to work for you. If you want Him to answer your prayers. This is the last of the little lesson of the fig tree that I want to speak on this afternoon. When you stand praying, forgive. You know, I've told this congregation and others that whenever we carry a burden, if we're praying for the lost, or if someone in our congregation is very afflicted and we're praying for the sick, God looks on us as a congregation, as His people. He looks on us and He's looking down if there's any conflicts, if there's any strife, if there's any division, if there's anything between us, brothers and sisters, God's looking at that. He will take that in His consideration as we make our petitions before the Lord. When you stand praying, forgive. Lord, help us to be able to forgive. Now, some of us, that may be an easy thing, but I've run into folks that was not an easy thing to do. To forgive. Folks, some people have some hard things happen to them in their lives. Very hard. Very difficult things. He said, if you have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you for your trespasses. We can't hold anyone. Who are we to hold one of God's other creatures? To hold them hostage and not forgive them. When the truth of it is, if you've ever been in the gall of bitterness, if you've ever been in a place of unforgiveness, the truth is you're the one that's in the prison. You think you're holding them, and you're the one that's in the prison. Maybe I've shared this before. I was at a brother and sister's home years back, and I knew of the circumstances already, but they'd already discussed them with me before. And I was sitting there visiting with them in their home, and the phone rang. You know, we got this thing today called caller ID. And they looked at it and saw who it was, and they just looked at me and never said anything else, but do I have to talk to her? And I said, no, brother, you don't have to talk to her. But you got to forgive her. Brother, that was a hard thing I said. You don't have to talk to her. You don't have to take her calls. But you got to forgive her. You see, that was his daughter-in-law who had set up his son, her husband, to be murdered, to be killed. Is that a hard thing, folks? That's a hard thing. You'll have talked to her, but you got to forgive, even if they don't ask for forgiveness. Hard thing, isn't it? I hope none of you ever have anything that hard to forgive, folks. Because when it comes to your children like that, it don't get much closer than that. Those hurts can run very deep. Do I have to talk to her? No. But you got to forgive her. Remember a sister up in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Sister Betty. Can't think of her last name now. Sister Betty. Baker. Thank you. You'll get old one of these days. Sister Betty Baker lived in a house that was condemned. It should have been condemned years before it was condemned. My wife and I went up and visited her many times. The house was the worst house I've ever been in, my dirtiest, filthiest place I've ever been in my life. She was an old spinster, never been married. And she wanted us to call before we came so she could clean out a little path from the kitchen into the living room. And that's all it was a path. And dust off a chair for us to sit on. She had animals in her kitchen. Little pigs, ducks, birds. All kinds of smells went on in the house there. Finally they came in and condemned it. After that happened, they put her in a nursing home. And I remember walking in that nursing home. How are you, Sister Betty? First thing out of her mouth that I remember, she said, "Brother Larry, those people took me out of my house, took it away from me and condemned it, put me in this place." She said, "Do I have to forgive them?" I said, "You know you do." She'd been around the saints most of her life, if not all of her life. I said, "You know you do, Sister Betty." I said, "I'm not going to stand here and tell you it was a nice thing that they did to you. And I'm sure it was hard. But you can't hold these things against people." And I said, "Because Jesus said if you don't forgive, He won't forgive you." Boy, that brings it down pretty close, doesn't it? Lord, there's that tree that you cursed just a couple days ago or yesterday morning. And it's withered up from the roots. And Jesus said, "Have faith in God." Lord, help us this afternoon. Folks, it's going to mean something for us to have faith in God. It's going to mean something in this day and age that we're living in. We're challenged to live in such a way that we can get a hold of God. You better be able to get a hold of Him for yourself. Might not have time to make a phone call. You might only have time to say, "Lord, have mercy. I need you, and I need you now." I appreciate God. I was talking about things at home the other day, and I said, "I thank God for God." My son was over, and my wife said, "Yeah, thank God for God. I'm so glad that I have someone." People say, you use that for a crutch. Call it what you want. Call it what you want. I lean on Him hard. My life's full of disappointments too. My life's full of sorrows too. There'll probably be more if I live to any age. But God help us today to learn the lesson of the fig tree. Jesus spoke to it and it dried up. And He tells us, you and I, if we'll speak to the mountain, it'll be removed. And it'll be cast into the sea. Can you imagine having that kind of power, folks? Can you imagine having that kind of authority? Be careful how you use it. Be careful what you do with it. This thing isn't to be played with. This is very serious. Our little lesson that we have this afternoon, very serious little lesson. But I want to encourage you. Have faith in God. Keep things clear in your life. Clear between you and God. And be sure that when you pray, Because you can't live for the Lord without praying. Be sure that when you pray, you believe in who you're talking to. And you believe that He is able to do that. Give us the things that we desire. You pray. You believe that in your heart, folks. He's no respecter of persons. He'll do it for one. He'll do it for someone else. But it always comes down to where I am. What He does is already done. But it always comes down to where I am. How I'm conducting myself. How I'm living my life. May the Lord help us to be genuine. Be genuine in our experience with the Lord. You know, the old story I read a long time ago, back in the 1800s when this country was starting to have some commerce, they would send over from Europe, they would send earthen jars over, vases. And some of them, by the time they would get here, they'd have little cracks running through them. And finally, they started sending the message over to them. We want the vases without wax. In other words, they knew the cracks was in there, and they'd put wax in the cracks to try to hide them. So I want vases without wax. God wants genuine, wholesome, godly people that can call down power from heaven. Because we need it, folks. You and I need it. Pray for me that I'll be one of those that'll be faithful. Thank you.